Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742, so if you have a question, something you'd like to talk over with us, we'd love to hear from you right now. So call now in Canada and the U.S., 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now at Basic Gospel. Drew, it's great to have you with us, my brother. Thank you for being with me today.
Hey, Bob. Well, thank you, brother. It's great to be with you. And today I wanted to start off the broadcast in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And this is Jesus praying.
Yes.
And he says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world." And he says, "I want you to protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And Bob, as this prayer goes on, Jesus prays some pretty incredible things. He prays that we would be one, and that our oneness would be the exact same oneness that Jesus has with the Father. He says that they may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So talk about connectedness, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, we are as connected to God as Jesus. And that is a powerful thought to take home and
yes,
mull over and reflect on every single day. It says, "I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to complete unity." And it says that they may be where I am. So Paul picks this up, Bob, and he says, we've been raised and seated in heavenly places. So we are where Christ is, and we have what Christ has. So next time you're out there thinking about your connectedness, maybe you're tempted to label yourself, maybe you're tempted to measure your closeness to God, how about deciding, "I am as close to God as Jesus, and I am as connected to Jesus and the Spirit and God the Father as is humanly possible because of what the cross and resurrection accomplished. So if God made me perfectly clean, and if God made me perfectly close, then wow, you cannot improve on that."
That's
Bob?
For sure. Yes, indeed. And good stuff, Andrew. Thank you for that. Again, we're glad that you're with us today. We're a little bit ahead of schedule, so let's go to this first call. And this is from Jordana, who called overnight. Let's listen.
"Hi, Bob. It's Jordana calling again. Since I was actually in a situation where God actually pressed his hand down upon me and held me there, and I couldn't even move. I couldn't get up. That's how strong it was. And he was very, very angry with me. So for about 3 days, I went through a spiritual, intense experience. And it was all about laying down my life for God so that he could save my life. And I'm just wondering what that means. Thank you for everything you do. And God bless your ministry. And I hope to hear from you. Thank you."
Very
Bye.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that was Jordana. And my goodness, she had quite an experience there, something that really rocked her world emotionally, and she's wondering about it. You know, it's interesting. We can read about and hear about all kinds of experiences that people have out there, whether it's a tingling sensation in their hands or some sort of burning in their stomach, as the Latter-day Saints talk about, or, you know, any sort of a spiritual or, quote, spiritual experience out there. It can be very confusing, and we wonder, where does it fit within our understanding of the gospel? And let me just say, first and foremost, Jordana, God is not angry with you. If you are in Jesus Christ, then, you know, part of what you said here is that he was angry with you, that this endured 3 days. Well, we have to compare that with the truth that's going to set you free here. And my friend, the truth is that Romans chapter 5 says that through Jesus you have peace with God, and through Jesus you've been saved from the anger of God. And as far as God needing to give you you some sort of intense, pressed down, angry experience, I would chalk that up to the enemy. I would chalk that up to accusation and condemnation. But the Bible tells us that if you are in Christ, if you've expressed your faith in Jesus and received Him, then there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So let me just spell out what I believe the enemy is capable of doing. I mean, remember that the enemy is all bark and no bite. I mean, 1 John says the enemy cannot touch us, but what he can do is deceive us and trick us and masquerade as the Holy Spirit. So here's someone masquerading in your thought life, masquerading as God the Father, who is ticked off at you, maybe because of something you did a week, a month, a year ago, angry with you and asking you if you would just lay down your life. Well, think about that expression. I mean, you said that he was telling you, you got to lay down your life or he's going to be mad. And this went on for 3 days of intensity. Well, remember the gospel message. It is not about us laying down our lives. It is about Jesus Christ laying down his life. And so I want you to see here, my friend, that you have been dared and double dared. That's what's happening here. You've been threatened. You're not brave enough. You're not dedicated enough. You're not committed enough. You're not doing enough. You're not sold out enough. And if you would just, well, hang on, because at salvation, your old self is already laid down. I mean, Paul writes that we lay aside the old self and we become the new self. So you're a new creation. God's not trying to get you to lay down the new creation. He wants you to see that you're built up in Him. So there's a whole lot of affirmation here, Bob, that I think Jordana could benefit from.
And sure.
You know, I think that it would be a good move for us to, if possible, if we know how to reach out to her, send her a copy of A Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, because mm-hmm. I think there's confusion about God's grace, and I think she would be encouraged to know that, A, God is not angry with her, that she has peace through Jesus, that, B, God has totally forgiven her of all of her sins, and C, that she has nothing to prove to God, because He's the one that makes her right. She has become the righteousness of God. And those truths can really affirm us and build us up, Bob, when we're dealing with that sort of accusation.
Absolutely. Well, Jordana, we appreciate the fact that you have reached out to us. And as Andrew said, we'd like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace into your hands. And the best way that we know right now to do that is have you call back that same number, 844-322-2742. Call anytime, 844-322-2742. And just tell us on the voicemail that Andrew and Bob promised you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Leave your information. We'll get that into your hands. But anyway, great question, and we hope this will help to you. Well, again, we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. And Andrew, this question came in as well. This is from a YouTube listener or viewer. Are there any aspects of the Old Testament that are still valid in a Christian's life?
Oh, wow. My goodness. That is a fabulous question. And I love it, Bob, because it brings a lot of clarity concerning what we teach every single day. I mean, here we are saying a believer is dead to the law, not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. So you're living from the heart now where Christ dwells in you. You're not needing to look to Moses. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. So upon teaching this, Bob, you can see how it would just be a natural question for somebody to say, well, then, I mean, are you saying that we just tear out 2/3 of our Bible and ignore the Old Testament? And of course, we're not saying that. The Bible is God's inspired word from Genesis to Revelation. All we're saying is, you know, when you're reading the old, you need to have your new glasses on. When you're reading the Old Testament, when you're understanding the Old Covenant, you need to have your grace glasses on. You need to be looking through a lens of the cross and the resurrection. So let's have some great examples here of the value of the Old Testament. I mean, first of all, through Genesis, we discover how we got here, that this is not an accident, that God is the creator, that He is the intelligent designer of everything we see, and that we're not here by accident or chance. science, and that's pretty valuable information. And, and then we find out that we rebelled, that it wasn't God getting ticked off at us. It was our choice. We rebelled. We said no to God. We said, I'll take self-improvement. I'll take the knowledge of good and evil. I'll take religiosity. I'll take this behavior improvement program, and I don't need you, God. I'm going to be Lord of this ring. And we draw a circle around ourselves and say, Lord, you're outside this ring now, and I'm Lord of my life. And that's what happened in the garden. And then we see, well, what's God's response to that? He clothed them. He had mercy on them. He didn't want them to feel too much shame, and so he got animal skins and clothed them. Then the long story here is that he pursued Israel in a passionate desire to help them, and he called them his own chosen people. And then you look at David, a man after God's own heart, expressing himself in the Psalms. You look at Proverbs, and you look at the wisdom expressed there. So there's an incredible amount. The prophecies about Jesus, for example, so much that we can glean from the Old Testament. At the same time, Bob, we need to say, wait a minute, though. I am a new covenant believer.
Absolutely.
So I live on this side of the cross. I live on this side of the resurrection. And Hebrews says, I have something better than David experienced. I have something better than Moses experienced. I have the indwelling Christ who will never leave me, never forsake me, and I've got once for all forgiveness. Whoa, this is better than the old. It's better than being under law. I am under grace.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Andrew. Thank you. And JC, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If we can be a further help, don't hesitate to reach out again. Andrew, we are facing a basic gospel I refer to. We're facing a need of $50,000 from our listeners and supporters by the 30th, and I know that you're deeply interested in the financial well-being of Basic Gospel as a ministry and as an outreach, and so would you share with our listeners just a little bit of your perspective about this need and, in general, going forward, the importance of supporting this ministry of grace in Jesus Christ?
Yes, absolutely. So I serve as a member of the board of directors and have done so for nearly a decade now, and definitely I'm passionate about the message that Basic Gospel shares on a daily basis. And here's what I would say is just take a quick survey in your mind of all of the Christian programming out there and how much of it is really fixated on the cross and the resurrection and our identity in Christ and our forgiveness in Jesus and what it means to be living under grace, motivated by God, living from the heart. I mean, this is day in and day out the affirming, encouraging message of Basic Gospel. And we have seen people come to salvation through Basic Gospel. We have seen people get freed up and enjoy God like never before from Basic Gospel in its radio broadcast. And you perhaps are one of those folks out there who has been deeply encouraged by the ministry of Bob Christopher over the years and Bob Davis and Richard Pfeiffer and so many on this ministry team over the last three decades.
Yeah.
So we encourage you, if you're excited about this message, if you love what you're hearing, if you want to see the ministry grow and reach even more people, well, please visit our website. It's basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. You can click on the donate tab there, and my goodness, it would mean the world to us if you decide to partner with us. And Bob, you know, there's no greater message to support.
None at all. Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew, for those thoughts. And friends, want to remind you that we're facing that $50,000 need by the 30th, so only about 4 days away, I believe it is. And when you give this month by the 30th, we're going to send you a copy of our DVD. It's called Your Living Hope by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. So go donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. So again, Andrew, thank you for that. Now, we had this email from Charles, who lives in Forney, Texas. He says, I hear of God's grace and love, but deep down, I believe God's grace and love is for everyone else other than me. Earlier this week, I was involved in a Christian support group talking about human brokenness. I shared for the first time outside of my head that I believe my brokenness is below everyone else's brokenness. Therefore, I have come to believe that everyone else can have access to God's grace and love but me. Despite all this, there is something within me fighting such feelings. I believe that it is the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus triple teaming me. Am I correct? That's from Charles in Forney, Texas.
Well, Charles, you're absolutely right about that triple team. I mean, leave it to the Trinity to encourage you and say, wait a minute, there's hope. Wait a minute, you're believing some lies. Wait a minute, the truth is going to set you free. And, you know, you're not alone in this, Charles. You look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we discover that the Apostle Paul was feeling the same way. He called himself the chief of sinners. Now, what is he talking about there? Well, I mean, he was a murderer. At one point, he was killing God's people. He was literally an assassin of the bride of Christ. And you say, whoa, I mean, that is outrageous. There were believers who were scared of him, running away from him. He stood by and gave hearty approval when Stephen was stoned. I believe he was holding his cloak. And so, you know, I mean, this guy was definitely trying to obliterate the church. And yet God said, you know what? I'm going to intervene in this man's life. I'm going to turn his world upside down. I'm going to show him that what he believes is the chief of sinners. Well, that is nothing to me in comparison to what Jesus Christ has accomplished for him. So I guess, Charles, I would ask you this. I mean, what are you allowing yourself to be infatuated with right now? Are you obsessed with the size of your sins? Or will you be obsessed with the size of your Savior? Because, you know, you're of the attitude right now that your sins are so, so big, and you're different than everybody else, and you're the exception. But I guess I would say, I would ask you this. I mean, who have you murdered lately? Mm-hmm. Are you an assassin of the church? Do your sins compare with those of Saul of Tarsus? I mean, the bottom line is, my goodness, the entire Bible is filled with people who had heinous and shockingly evil pasts. You look at Moses, who killed an Egyptian in rage, and he wrote the first five books of the Bible. Then you look at David, and Bob, David did an awful thing. I mean, here's what he did. He put a man on the front lines of his army so that that guy would die on purpose so that he could take that guy's wife. Now, Bob, that is not nice.
Not nice.
And then Paul, the assassin of Christians. So, you know, whether it's the Psalms, whether it's the first five books of the Old Testament, or whether it's all of those Pauline epistles, we are seeing that God uses the unexpected. I mean, God uses those who think their track record is no good, that they are all washed up, that they have no hope, and then God intervenes and says, wait a minute, who do you think you are? Are you going to be obsessed with the size of your sins, or are you going to recognize, wait a minute, my sins are small, and my God is big. That's what's big. It's my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And what he did on Calvary for me is that he remembers my sins no more. So, you know, I would say let's quit all this broken talk. There's too many Christians running around trying to be broken, be more broken. Now,
absolutely,
we got Charles worried about being too broken. I mean, the reality is the New Testament says that we're built up in Jesus. He's not tearing us down. He's building us up in the truth of the gospel. So, Bob, there's so much hope right here, right now in Jesus. Charles has been blessed with every blessing. Charles is complete. Charles is lacking nothing. Charles is united with Christ, and Charles has peace with God. And this is the kind of truth that's going to set him free.
You just can't beat that, but you have to understand the truth of that. So thank you for explaining that, Andrew. And Charles, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. We had another call that came in overnight. Andrew, let's listen to that call right now.
Hi. I want to know, please, if we are given all of the tools and all the things that we need to make it in the world, then what do we do about a believing spouse who is neglectful and destructive to the family, not in a physical abusive way, but in a verbal abusive way and neglect? How do we do that as wives who want to please the Lord?
Okay, Bob. Well, this is a question that probably even as thousands of people listen today and hear it later online, I mean, this is going to resonate with so many spouses out there, whether those spouses are women or men. We all have experienced what it's like, if we're married people, what it's like for our marriage partner to fall below expectations. And Bob, that is what we're talking about here. We first of all, we go into marriage and the temptation is to believe that this person is going to meet my expectations. They're going to live up to what I hope they will do for me. And we inevitably, all of us do this, we look to the creation rather than the Creator, and then give it 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, or 5 years, and somewhere along the line, that person is going to majorly disappoint us. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm so relieved to hear, first of all, that this abuse is not physical, because if it were physical abuse, Bob, I mean, our advice would be safe. Get protection. Be safe. Get out of harm's way. There is nothing spiritual about getting beat up.
No.
Now, you know, we've still got a very serious situation here because there's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and I think our first piece of advice really here needs to be get counsel. Don't go through this alone. I mean, find a Christ-centered, Bible-believing counselor who can walk through this with you, and if you're willing, walk through it with your husband present as well, because, you know, if he's in the Lord and you are in the Lord, then he's got a new heart beneath all that verbal abuse, beneath all that anger. You know, 5 times out of 10 or more, Bob, I mean, you look at guys, husbands who are blowing up, they're struggling with rage. I mean, usually, Bob, there's some sort of hurt under there, and there's fear and hurt, and they're not in touch with it, and we men are taught to be so strong on the exterior, so everything comes out as anger, but on the inside, it's fear and it's hurt. So I would advise her to really get some counsel there. And as far as her own decision making, I mean, look, she can't control her husband. There's no way that she is going to change him. That's God's work. So apart from seeking counsel, I would also just say, you know, remember that you can't be a scorekeeper in marriage. I mean, forgiving the other person as the Lord has forgiven us, that's what Ephesians and Colossians tell us, to let that person be released from their debt. So let me just encourage you to take this attitude, maybe even sit down, make an appointment with God, so to speak, and write your feelings out and say, well, here's what he's done to me. Here's what he's said. Here's how he's yelled at me. Here's how he's criticized me. Here's how he's abused me verbally and emotionally. And this is what it made me feel. It made me feel like nothing. It made me feel like a zero, unappreciated, rejected, disrespected. It made me feel all these things, God. Sure. But I am a forgiving person in Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave me a new heart. You gave me a forgiving heart. You made me new at the core. And my passion now, right here today, is to forgive my husband, to release him from what he owes me. I'm going to release him from those expectations. I'm going to cancel this debt. Because, Bob, that is what we are made to do. We are not just new creations. We are now forgiving from the core. We've got a new heart, a new spirit. We're slaves of righteousness, and nothing satisfies us more than when we get the privilege to forgive another person, cancel that debt, and not hold it against them.
Absolutely. Well, great insight, Andrew. Thank you so much for being with us today. We always love your participation on the broadcast. And friends, if you've ever wondered if there's another way to stay connected every day with God's love, there is. It's called the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. And all you need to do to subscribe is go to basicgospel.net, put on a slash, and then the word subscribe. So basicgospel.net/subscribe. The devotional is free, and it arrives by email every morning right there in your email inbox. And what a way to start each day knowing that you're loved perfectly by the God of the universe. Well, again, Andrew, great thoughts. And, you know, I always love it when you're on the broadcast with us. You bring a unique perspective, and we truly appreciate your partnership with us and this outreach that we call Basic Gospel. So thank you very much, my brother, for being with me today in Bob Christopher's absence. Of course, he's preparing for a wonderful event, the marriage of his son Coleman to a wonderful young lady named Corday, and we're looking forward to being present at that wedding this Saturday. So we're all excited, and we all love Coleman and their entire family, so it's going to be a wonderful celebration. Friends, want to remind you also that Basic Gospel needs your help to keep this good news coming on your station and online. And as we've said, we need your help to reach that $50,000 by the end of September, September 30th, 4 days away. Summer months always put us in kind of a slump, so we have some catching up to do. Well, anyway, for Andrew Farley, for Bob Christopher, and all this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we consider Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passage, number 3, on Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.